Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're visiting a beetle spit village next to a chicken piddle lake on a donkey dung island. You can bet we're gonna swear. This has been your obscenity warning.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today, we're reading Chapter 7 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's fizz like pop rocks.
Chapter 7 opens with everybody eating lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Nori and Oswin show up, and the adults are talking, and Evie's bored, so she goes off to play with rocks, because she wants to, like, explore their fizzing, and I think she goes into, like, the crystal crack that they were talking about earlier,
Yes.
Until Luvo booms his voice and makes her come out. Nori's there, talking to her, and they have a brief conversation, and we learn that Nori is the daughter of Pirate Queen Paha from Triss's book.
Yup.
What a throwback.
Craziness.
I mean, we've had the crystals, we've had volcano discussions, we've had dragon salt. That's all this book is. After her conversation with Nori, she's still, like, exploring the rocks and stuff. This is when she steals a horse and goes up the mountain to, like, further pursue the fizzing and the power and whatever she's feeling. She wears herself out. I don't remember if she's just writing or if she's also, like, if she also wears herself out because she's pursuing stuff magically.
She's pursuing stuff magically as well.
Okay. Jyot shows up and, like, kind of helps take care of her, and she rests for a while, but then she goes back a third time to explore the rocks again. And this is when Luvo's like, no, 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 don't go there. That's dangerous. And Evie's like, what you talking about? Where's your sense of adventure? And she basically enters the heart of the volcano. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. Goodwin, tell us about volcano things.
What about volcano things? You're talking about the children sacrificed into the volcano, or that Luvo's going to become
You've been talking volcanoes for a couple chapters, I think. So yeah. You said before, like, oh, I was totally right. Volcano things.
Yeah.
Brittany got her chance to brag and pulled fire. So here's your chance. Tell us about volcano things.
So yeah, like, obviously we're in a chain of islands. Everyone knows that islands are mostly caused by volcanic eruptions and stuff. So it's just kind of the expected, you know, islands in the middle of the ocean having issues with, like, poisoned water and stuff. Clearly that means the volcano is getting active, and, you know, volcanoes create a bunch of, they can leach toxic fumes and stuff from rocks melting, and that's what's happening. Like, I'm 100% sure the volcano
I
is just
agree.
Yeah, like, it is just poisoning stuff because it's releasing a bunch of gases and stuff that, you know, not good for plants or water. Still waiting for Oswin to throw the kids in there, but I'm sure we'll get to that eventually.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, just more confirmation that, like, you know, Evie kind of finds this, like, it's essentially the magma chamber pretty close to the surface, apparently. And Luvo's like, hey, hold up, I don't think this is a good idea. And she's just all about it. It's like, Luvo, where was your sense of adventure? Climb into the molten rock. And Luvo's like, I came out of that and it didn't feel good. And every other mountain I've talked to has the same experience. Don't go in there. It's bad. Clearly, this volcano's about to blow. Like I said before, it's about time we had another, act of nature be the antagonist. So I'm here for it.
Since I called on you, do you want to share your other notes with us?
My likes. I enjoyed Zaze sending them with a pretty hearty meal on the way out. Rolls, pickled beets, grape leaves. Gotta love grape leaves. Everybody loves grape leaves. I'm sure we've all had grape leaves before and how delicious they are.
I can't say I've ever had a grape leaf.
They're pretty good, actually.
I had grape leaves in college. Not a fan.
The little pocket they make, or just
the yeah, like stuff? There was. I don't remember what it was, but it was something with, like, wrapped in grape leaves.
Yeah, the leaves themselves don't really have much of a, like, they're not offensive or anything. They're pretty plain.
Yeah, I think I didn't like spinach. The texture, probably.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I just, like, peeled the leaves off and ate the rest of it.
Effie saying that she had her bad manner skin on that day kind of reminds her of when she was a kind of a street rat attitude going on. I also like the part where Rose Thorn asks Effie to go, like, she starts feeling around with her hand, and then Effie goes to, like, get her map, get her ink started, and, like, all the writing utensils that she needs kind of going, like, even though she's not her student, but she knows exactly the, like, consistency that she likes her ink to be when she writes. So they've clearly been studying together a lot. She says that she's not her student, but she kind of has been. The reveal of Nori and her mom being the pirate queen that attacked. Was not expecting that. That was a throwback to just way, way early in the beginning. I want to see how much more we'll get out of that.
I don't feel like we will get much more out of it, but...
Probably not. But I'm interested to see, you know, if it's just going to be a passing thing, or if she will have maybe more to do here or not.
Yeah.
Also, Nori saying the stone mages are a copper a pair, meaning that they're very common.
Which I think they've said before in Street Magic.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
When they met her.
And, like, you know, clearly there are great mages that work with stone, but, like, are there tiers? Like, how do you differentiate? If there's so many of them, how do you know who's good or not?
I feel like that's kind of the same as any profession, though. You know, you have a profession where there's a lot of people who fill that, and you have to figure out who's good at and who's mediocre and who probably shouldn't be doing it.
I mean, we saw Juba Huba was not very good, but he was at the top.
Yeah.
Which also happens in real life.
Now you just got to know people as well. Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder, like, I know for, like, electricians, there's, like, levels to that knowledge. And it makes me wonder if mages are kind of the same way. Like, is becoming a great mage just an experience thing? Or is it prove that you know? Or do you have to do a great act to become a great mage? Is it just a certain amount of learning that you need?
From the way they talk about it with Rose Thorn, I feel like she has a great majority more of magic than regular mages. So, because she's compared to a tree, like, I don't know.
Is it the capacity of magic that they can do?
You know? I get the impression that it is a combination of how powerful somebody is magically, as well as, like, what they can do. Because I feel like there's a sentence back in, like, Santry's book where Rose Thorn tells Briar that he could potentially be a great mage. I think it's partially, like, training and ability, but it's also just that raw power.
Yeah, because I also feel like Daja has the capability of it as well, because I remember in Cold Fire, I think it was Alenica Potcracker that was like, Nia smells of magic, but you smell like you've been rolling around in magic. You have a whole lot more magic.
And I have to wonder if there's, to some degree, that's something that you can grow. Like if you start off with a small amount of magic, you can actually kind of increase it through like study and training and stuff.
That's a combo of both. Yeah, it is like your capacity and your knowledge.
Yeah, and I feel like there would still be kind of a cap on it. Like some people are never going to exceed a certain threshold, no matter how much they study. But others, I mean, which to me seems like other skills in real life, singing or like playing a sport or something. Like you'll have like the basketball player who is never like, no matter how much they play and practice, they're only going to do so well.
Yeah.
And then you have the basketball player who's more naturally gifted than the first person and plays and practices and becomes NBA All-Star. And then you have the basketball player who could be, but doesn't spend the time practicing and therefore doesn't get that good. You could apply that to a lot of other skills as well. That's kind of the impression I get for magic.
That makes sense.
I did not like Evie describing that hot itch-like tingle, saying that she wants to scratch her own skin off. And also the fact that there's like that little hint there of like, did she bring it back with her when she was down there, like among the rocks and stuff? Almost like picking up a disease or something, and she's bringing it up back with her. I hope she didn't. And near the end, Luvo talking to Evie and saying, do not go any further. I will not stay with you. There is no good to be found down there. Reminds me of two things. It reminds me of, there are these warnings on certain caves underwater that are like warnings for divers that are like, hey, don't go any further. There is no treasure here. You need very, very specific training and equipment to safely swim through these caves. You can get stuck. You can die. Your body may not be able to be recovered. Do not enter. And it's just like a very in your face, like there is nothing there. Don't fucking do it.
That's just what they want you to think. That's why they put the sign. They're like, there's no treasure here, but there's actually treasure. So you got to go look.
People are dumb. And even if you put it like that, they will continue. Evie has gotten this very clear warning, but she is going to continue. She's a child, though, so I guess, what can you do? The second thing it reminds me of is there have been these concepts for long-term nuclear waste storage. So like all the nuclear waste after it's been run through the nuclear energy generation power plants, it's all being stored out in the desert in like Nevada. But since the half-life of all the radioactivity and all the liquid in the barrels will not go away for like hundreds of thousands of years, there have been like a couple of studies done as to like how to make a place look scary and to warn people away using both words and actual structures. If you think like 10,000 years from now in the future, if our descendants come around and they come to this place out in the middle of the desert and they see like some cool building or something, or you know, funky looking shapes in the ground, or that people had been there in the past, it could be like us coming up to like an ancient Egyptian tomb and being like, oh, this is kind of cool. Maybe something really cool and like valuable is stored here. We need to go digging. We need to get in here and crack it open and see what's inside. But all these warnings that were like written in like, I think 7 different languages, including like Navajo or something, but they say that this place is not a place of honor.
Yeah.
Nothing is valued here. What is here is dangerous and repulsive to us. No highly esteemed deed is commemorated here. Just these very bold, clear warnings that can possibly be like translated in the future for people that don't know what this place is, because it is so dangerous. And it's like the shapes that they were planning on putting there were like crooked, broken trees, like big spikes. Spiky, yeah. Scary, black obsidian, like, don't come here. This is a bad place. Don't go digging, because if you do, you're going to release nuclear waste and you're going to be irradiated and die in a very painful, bad way.
Yeah, but people are going to be like, that's what they want us to think. There is treasure there. It's fine.
I don't know though, because like what Goodwin's describing to me sounds like the spooky ruins that like we read about in stories, and people are like, oh no, don't go there. And like, of course, they
eventually do. This small handful of people that would be like, no, I'm gonna do it.
That's true. but I like the comparison to Egyptian tombs, because like there's all these stories about curses coming from Egyptian tombs. And I could be wrong, but I feel like I've heard stories that people opening up tombs have actually released ancient illnesses. So like there were like bacteria or what that were living in the tombs.
Yeah.
That we don't really like, they've died out in the rest of the world, but then we open up the tombs and release them. And so we
like actually a Pandora's box.
Did that. Yeah.
That has happened more than once. Okay.
His warning was very evocative to me of those warnings. Like, do not go further. I will not stay with you. There is no good to be found there.
Right.
Very, very reminiscent of them.
Evie being rude again and Rose Thorn using her full name. I just like noted, she uses the full name.
Yep.
Nothing scarier than the full name.
No. Oh no, I done fucked up.
Right. I love how it's written, because we get the name before we hear who's saying it. And it's like, it wasn't Luvo that time. No, so I knew I'd Luvo. Messed up. I like that when Evie falls off her horse, Giant's like, here, Evie, here are some rocks.
He's just trying to help.
I mean, I'm sure he is. Like, it is absolutely the correct reaction, but it's just funny.
Rocks.
It really is, though.
I'm sure she landed on some rocks falling off the horse. And he's like, oh, you landed on rocks? Here's some more.
He's already figured out that rocks help her, whether it's just emotionally or physically, but he's already figured out whatever is going on, rocks will help you. So he's like, here are some rocks. It just sounds so funny. I love Giant. I also love, I don't know if this comes across quite the same way in the written text, like if you're just reading it, because I love the delivery of this line in the audiobook. Brittany knows where I'm going. When Nori and Osmond show up and they're like, hey, what's going on? And Giant goes, Evie stopped an avalanche.
Yep.
There's just something about the way the actor delivers that line is perfect. Evie's, it's like he's pointing to her.
Like, she did it.
Like, she did it.
She did it.
And then he lays her on basalt and she's like, ah, cool, comfortable basalt. And earlier she was complaining about basalt.
Right?
So.
Basalt's so boring. Oh, basalt, I love you.
I was like, what do you think about basalt now, Evie?
Not so cool, huh?
Oswin and Rose Thorne's whole conversation about her five tyrants.
Mm-hmm.
He says something about the kids trying to like take care of him. And she's like, oh, I have five of them. And he's like, five? You have five?
Mm-hmm.
Brittany, are you mm-hmming from experience? I didn't think that you would have had this experience yet, because yours are too young to be going, oh no, we have to take care of you.
But my 7-year-old tries to take care of me.
tries
keyword. Not very good at it yet, but she tries.
And then the last thing I wrote is, I like Evie's self-description as, quote, person who looks after her mage. And Nori's reaction to this. Like, that's not a very impressive title.
It is a title, though.
It is a title. Nori doesn't have a title, and that's her point.
Yeah.
She's like, I have a title. I am person who looks after my mage. You don't
what
have
do you have? Nothing.
You don't need to be here.
My first one is when Evie runs off, Luvo mind speaks with her and says, she says she will drown you in the lake tonight, so say your prayers.
Mood, though.
Yes. And I love the delivery of it, too, listening to the audio. It's like, he's just very nonchalant about it. I'm just like, eh, And then I also like the delivery of when Jaya is talking to Luvo, and Jaya asks him, "Do you get sick?" And Luvo's like, "I do not." It's not very funny reading it, but listening to it, I found it very funny.
Yeah.
The voice actors, they did a really, really good job with this one.
I had a dislike when Evie is basically telling Luvo, "Where's your sense of adventure?" And he's like, "I have trauma with this." And she's basically like, "Fuck your trauma, Luvo. I don't care about all that. I just want to be adventurous." I'm like, "Evie, you're a jerk." And then my last like was like, whenever she sees all the volcano stuff, the lava, and she says that the minerals and metals all swirl together in different colors of hot. What color is hot? Is it just red? Orange?
Well, I was going to say
yellow.
Think about like a fire. You've got like the blues, the greens, the purples, reds, that's yellows. True.
I thought that was an interesting way to say it, though.
I like that description.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
My mother worshipped money. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the reveal, but I also just really like that line.
Yeah, I would have never made the connection unless, I know we were talking about it last weekend, you guys told me. I was like, oh! Yeah, I would have never made that connection on my own.
I also really like the follow-up where she says, yeah, I'm iffy on the question of gods right now.
Yeah.
And if I stole that one from you, Indy, then take it now. But
you're good.
Yeah, like that's just a very real thing that a lot of people go through. So
yeah.
We're all born in fire with no memory of that birth but pain.
Mm.
There is specifically a line from a song that I really, really like. Was it, "We come into this world through blood and through pain." I love the realness, I guess, of that. It do be like that in childbirth. It is very painful and very bloody and very uncomfortable.
Yes it is.
Yeah.
we talked in an earlier episode about like comparing Luvo's birth to like human birth, and mm-hmm. I feel like we get the same thing here, and it's very cool.
Yeah,
that is the ones that aren't stolen.
I'm not sorry.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. So tell me, what theme or message did you find?
The one I found was lack of self-control. She is getting really antsy. And so because of that antsiness, she's not controlling herself very well. She starts off being really rude to Jayat, telling him that he should leave the island, forget everything that's going on at the village, which she gets in trouble for. She's getting bored with the meeting, and she loses self-control and steals a horse and runs away, and then loses self-control when she decides that she wants to plunge into a volcano, even though Luvo is telling her not to.
Like, what stood out to me about, like, her stealing the horse and all this is kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of that moment when you're, like, working on something creative and you're just so focused that, like, everything else sort of disappears. And I don't know what the word for that is.
Hyper-focus.
Hyper-focus. There we go. That's fine. Oh, well, you should elaborate.
No, it's quite the same. It's like that moment when, like, something just won't leave your brain. You spend 45 minutes talking about pirates and nobody cares. But you spend 45 minutes talking about it because you can't shut the fuck up about it.
Or Pokemon.
Pirates.
Or animals.
And it's a hyperfixation. And God damn it. Me, last week, I spent like 45 minutes talking about pirates. And like my coworker was like, cool. Yeah. And I'm just like, I can't shut up and I'm sorry.
Well, Goodwin, do you want to share your theme with us?
No, because I did not find one.
The
closest thing I got to it was Evie trying to tell Jayat that, you know, he should go study somewhere else and, like, essentially how to live his life. And, you know, like what gives her the right to tell him that. But I didn't really know how to put that into a theme.
Rudeness.
Yeah, but I feel like that could be the theme for the whole book at this point, frankly. Everyone's being rude all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
Evie figured out this time that she is being rude, so good on her.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, shit, Grosthorn's right. I'm being a jerk.
Yeah, maybe self-reflection. Yeah, let's go with self-reflection.
Part 3 of our 3-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter? I think Indy wants to go first.
So specifically, I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a downer here. Go figure.
What else?
Specifically the line, we are all born in fire with no memory of that birth but pain. We are shaped by our experiences, which means that our trauma does shape our reactions, our mindset. These are things that genuinely change you on a fundamental level. I have trouble remembering things from when I was a lot younger. It's a trauma reaction, and I know that's what it is. Like, there are things I remember and things that I don't. But I will react in ways that I don't understand. But the only thing I can think of is they are to that memory that I have repressed. And this is a reminder to be kind to myself and to others, because the way we are shaped, we might not remember the experience, but the weight of it will stay with us. The pain of it will stay with us. It's a reminder to myself to be kind, both to myself in those instances of reacting in panic or in anger or whatever the case may be, and also to be kind to others, because I don't know what shaped them. It's a little bit of a downer, but...
That was really good. I feel like mine is actually related. Think before you speak, because Evie is doing saying a lot of mean things and being rude and not thinking before she speaks and potentially offending people. That can be avoided by just pausing and being like, wait a minute, let me think about this.
Mine was self-control, which is, I think, kind of similar to yours as well. We see Evie finally getting this, a real taste of what she's been slightly picking up on, you know, this power coming through these rocks and what used to be there. And now she's kind of getting the full, like, hey, this is kind of nice. This is cool. Like she's finally got it and it's really great. And she's just like ignoring every warning sign that she's either been told or feels that like, this is bad. Don't do it. But since it feels good and she's like excited and it's like amping her up, she's just going for it. You need to have a little more self-control than just leaping into, especially something unknown, and especially something that other people close to you have warned you about. Kind of take that into consideration before you leap. Reminds me a little bit of, I just started a new medication called phentermine. It's for weight loss, but it's like not opposite, but almost equivalent to like Adderall. Adderall is for attention. Like if you have ADHD, it helps you kind of brings it under control so you can focus, but it also makes you kind of less hungry throughout the day. Phentermine makes you less hungry, and it kind of has a side effect of helping you concentrate a little more. Like you're only supposed to take it for like a month at a time. Very much, you only get like a small supply from your doctor each time you get a prescription. I feel a lot better when I take it. I was like, this is kind of nice, not having to eat a lot. My appetite is suppressed. I'm able to focus on stuff. But when I felt that, I also realized that I'm like, I can see why you're supposed to take breaks off of it at certain times. Like you're just supposed to like have like a couple months on, one off, then kind of see how you feel. Maybe you can go back on it, but it's very limited in how long you're supposed to take it. And I think I've reached the point, like I need to go to my doctor and see, but I've been taking it for 2 months now. And I'm like, I love being on this. It feels great. It's kind of awesome. But then I'm like, that might just be part of that like addictive part of that medicine and my brain being like, this is cool. This is great. Like it feels nice. But I don't want to be hooked on something like this. And I'm glad I can kind of realize it, that I'm like, yeah, it's good, but it's not good for me all the time.
Yeah.
This is probably the point where I need to be like backed off of it and not take it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that I kind of like, kind of what's going on in this chapter is applying directly to me right now. Just because it feels good doesn't mean you can keep doing it.
I think that's the beauty of reading.
Well, mine doesn't tie into y'all's at all. So I guess I'm going to pull an indie.
Oh, yay!
Mine is in the part where Luvo and Nori are talking. And Nori is saying stone mages are a copper a pair. Luvo is saying, but none like Evu Meme. She is alive. The world is hers, or she will make it hers. She sparkles. Evie's like, Luvo is great, but he's just a dreamer. He's crazy, thinking all these high praising things about me. He shouldn't think so highly of me. I kind of suck. We don't see the potential in ourselves. Sometimes we think that we're not that great. And sometimes our friends have to remind us, hey, you are pretty great. Don't talk about yourself like that. Luvo is thousands of years old. He knows. Let your friends hype you up. It's okay.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. Unless they're hyping you up to do something bad, then don't let them do that.
Jump in the lava. Jump in the lava. It's really cool down here. It feels awesome. Do it. Do it.
Ever such a slight spoiler. We might be dealing with that in the next chapter.
Oh, boy.
Luvo telling her to jump in the lava?
No, not Luvo. Just friends. Jump
out. Murkertide is saying, yeah, we're going to get rid of that gutter snipe. Jump in there. Or right. Oswin is like, yes, I don't have to sacrifice a child right now. The child is sacrificing herself.
Exactly. Finally. That's why it was only a slight spoiler, because you'd already figured out the whole thing with Oswin, you know?
Yes. Yep. Called it 100%.
So before we begin our excerpts, since I realize we have chapter titles, we can do like little mini predictions. It's great.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So chapter 8 is titled Flame and Carnelian. What do you think is what do you think that's all about?
I don't know what a carnelian is.
It's some kind of stone. Go figure.
Oh, I would have figured it was a flower, so I'm glad you're telling me.
It's reddish orange.
It's the color of pot. she is gonna jump in and be flared. I don't know.
She's probably gonna realize that
she uses the carnelian to save herself from getting flared up.
That could be the case.
And because is carnelian volcanic rock?
I don't know what kind of rock it is, actually.
It doesn't.
Oh, it's a quartz. Volcanic. It's a type of quartz.
Oh, she did say there's a lot of quartz down there, so
there is a lot of quartz.
So she's using that to keep herself from being swallowed up by the lava. That's my prediction. Save yourself.
I think she's gonna see a chunk of that floating around. She's like, "Oh, I could be that if I don't get out of here really quickly." And then Luvo yells at her again, and then she's like, "Oh, all right, let me just
Evu Mei Mei, get out of there." Okay.
And then she gets out, and then she's covered in it or something.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 8 of Melting Stones. I was starting to sink down through the air toward the pool when two shapes rushed out of the stone melt. They grabbed my protection sphere, hauling me back up to the crack I had just left. "Hello, hello, look at you," one of them cried, twirling around me. "You're new, you're not old, you're not cold and dead. Who are you?" the other demanded, twirling the other way. "You're sparkly, and you came from the cold place above," said the first. "How did you get in? Show us. Take us out of here." They danced around me like two kids who had found a new playmate. Then they wrapped their hot, snaky bodies around my shell. Now I was really glad for my protections. Even with three layers of magic around me, these two kids felt hot. Quickly, I dragged more strength from the melted rock below. I put it into my layers to keep from being eaten. My magical body was all ideas and power, controlled by my mind, but I was certain that if my magical self burned to ashes, my real body would die too. "Who are you?" I asked. "Where did you come from? Are you mages? What are your names?" "What are mages?" The one who felt more like a boy slowed down. He trailed a shock of sparks and flame from his top end like a flare. To keep them straight, I decided to call him that. "We came from below to here," Flare said. "Now we want to go up. We must go up. Can you feel it?" The other one had a prettier voice, more like a girl's. Her core fire was a darker, cooler orange, like carnelian. I thought it would make a good name for her. "How important it is to go up and out?" Slowly, though they kept spinning around me, they were changing. When they'd first grabbed me, they were like a pair of comets, gripping me with long, molten stone tails. Now they were shifting, their bodies getting shorter. The tails became two legs, arms split off from the trunk. The ends of their heads settled into their bodies until they formed necks. Were they copying the shape of my magical body? I had always liked to appear human, maybe so I wouldn't forget. Once they had simple bodies, they changed even more. Flare was sapphire blue, still with his trailing flame of hair. He had black-rimmed eye holes around flame eyes. Carnelian had turned her fiery hair black like mine. She made herself a nose and mouth as well as eyes. "What are you?" I felt like an idiot for having to ask again. A real mage would know, it seemed to me. "What are you doing here? We're children of the pool." Flame spun until he was a blur, then stopped and took his human-like shape again. "We were born there. We swim there too, sometimes, but that isn't all we are anymore. We want other things than just melting together now. We want to go out." Carnelian obviously thought I was quite slow. "Don't you? Don't you have the pool where you come from? Aren't you bored with the pool? Don't you want to go somewhere new? Don't you want to be someone new? Someone who isn't always from the same places?" Flare spun against the roof of the chamber, melting a hollow spot there. Liquid stone dripped through my magical body, its power making me shiver.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us. Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Mm-hmm. It's always the companion.
It's always an animal companion, damn it.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.